Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Check out the Score's new showtime.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Starting Monday, our starting lineup kicks off your morning with Molly and Haw at a new time. Now getting you to work starting at 5:30 and going all the way to 10 a.m. Followed by the newest mashup of Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. 10 a.m. till 2. Parkins and Spiegel afternoons 2 to 6. And Gabe Ramirez at night. Same great score lineup, new times. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score! Score!
And run Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Wilson Contreras just gave a bear hug to his brother, William Contreras, the starting catcher for Atlanta. Very rare to see brothers in the same big league game playing against each other. Grounds one toward the middle. That's going to be another base hit. Wilson going for two. The throw to second base. The slide. He's got a double. Great hustle for Wilson Contreras. He gets a two-bagger. Listen to this crowd. Fly ball left field. Happ is there. Cubs win the ball game. Another solid line drive right to the left fielder. And the Cubs make it two in a row over the defending champs with a 6-3 win here today.
It's a line drive to right on a fastball, and Robert gives the Sox the lead. Danny Mendick on his way for run number two, and the Sox have strung together four hits against Verlander in the third. Hard hit, second base, and through Altuve. Josh Harrison to the plate. It's a 5-0 lead. Now the ball trickles away, but not far enough for anything further. The Sox continue to make contact against Verlander, and it's 5-0. 3-2. On the ground, a shortstop. Danny, cloaked in sunlight, throws him out, and the Sox do shut out the Astros on their home turf. 7-0 behind Johnny Cueto.
Happens once again, and Luis Robert had a big day. It was a great day for the Sox in a game they truly needed. They move within one game of 500 again with the third final and rubber game tomorrow. So a game well played. An antagonist, Justin Verlander, picks up the loss and he got pounded early. The Sox went out with a good game plan and executed it. And they will get a very good dinner tonight and be right back at it tomorrow evening.
And now, your host, Cody Decker.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to 670 The Score and welcome to Hit and Run. I'm Cody Decker. I am taking over today for Matt Spiegel just for Father's Day. My second week in a row. My God, what a foolish mistake this wonderful, wonderful station has made, allowing me to do this yet again. And by the way, that's not all you get of me today. After this, we got 3 hours of Hit and Run and you get more me. That's right. We got Down the Line right after Hit and Run. And of course, we got a great show for you guys today. Listen, we got some guests joining us to talk some Cubs and Sox. The Cubs and Sox, great day for the city of Chicago yesterday, baseball-wise. Cubs look great. White Sox look great. I'm looking forward to talking about both of these games today, obviously. But by the way, first things first, we got to talk to you guys about Monday here on The Score. Score fans, starting this Monday, as in tomorrow, listen to the new Score lineup. Mully and Haw kick off the day at 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. The new Bernstein and Holmes show. I cannot stress this enough. The two very best in the industry. Put them together. It's pure gold. I cannot wait. It is already my new favorite radio show in not only Chicago, but probably the country. That's right. Bernstein and Holmes, they will be at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., followed by Parkins and Spiegel to drive you home from 2 to 6. And, of course, you got Cubs baseball and Gabe Ramirez handling the nights. This is all starting at 6 p.m., all live and loud, local in Chicagoland on The Score and the Odyssey app. Ah. Now that I got that out of the way, I nailed that, by the way. You're welcome, everybody. Listen, I got Sean over here making me sound way better than I probably deserve. Sean, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Cody. I'm good. Happy Father's Day, man.
Happy Father's Day. Are you a father, Sean?
I am not a father, no. I have a dog, but I'm not a father.
I am not either. I have two dogs, four cats, so I feel like a father. I feel very good about that.
That's good. That's honestly, I mean, I...
Is it?
I mean, I've had my dog for about a year. I don't think I'd, like, I wouldn't, like, go out to public and, like, acknowledge myself as a father, but I feel like I kind of am some, you know, to some extent. I take care of the dog. Yeah, I clean up after him.
Yeah, I feel that way about my dogs. Well, specifically Franklin, my big Great Dane. I feel that way very much about Franklin. But I will tell you this. Kevin, my little chai weenie, he kind of takes care of himself. No big deal. My four cats, I never see them unless they need something from me. Right. And yes, I do hear what I'm saying out loud. I have two dogs, four cats. That's right. This is a true story, Sean. I one time got released by the Colorado Rockies, kind of out of nowhere. I got traded over there by the Kansas City Royals. In 2016, about 3 weeks into the season, it was kind of a quick trade over to the Rockies. The Rockies had an injury. It was Daniel Descalso was down, so they traded me over to Colorado to take over in AAA, hoping that if somebody got hurt, I would go up because they had a lot of prospects at AAA. They had Mike Tauchman at AAA and a few other guys that they didn't want to start the clock of, but they didn't care if they started my clock. My clock had already started, and they had no intention of keeping me. So the Rockies pull me over there. I'm sitting there. Played for 2 weeks. Daniel Descalso's hand gets healthy. They say, hey, sorry, we don't have a spot for you anymore. I get released. It's less than a month into the season. I don't know if you know this, but May 1st, not a good time to be a free agent in professional baseball. So I'm on my way driving home, and luckily I'm talking to teams already literally on the drive home. But I get home, and my wife calls me. She's like, hey, listen, I know you're upset. You've been released and all this yada, yada, yada. Don't be surprised when you get home. I'm like, what do you got? She's like, well, there are cats. Okay. What about that? She's like, no, like a lot of cats. I get home, Sean, and I open up the door. Now, keep on, I'm freshly released, not in a good mood. I come home and I open my bathroom door, 14 kittens.
No way. 14?
Not four, 14.
Oh my God. What?
1-4. The number Mike Socha wore on his back, 14.
How? What happened? Where'd they come from?
She thought it was a good idea to bring home a litter of kittens. But here's the thing, she didn't tell me about it, and she didn't expect me home. She was going to do this whole thing for like weeks and not let me know, and I just happened to be released, and I get home, and there are 14 kittens in our bathtub, which, by the way, I actually really enjoyed because I just would lie in the bathtub and I'd be swarmed by 14 kittens. Do you know how enjoyable it is to be swarmed by 14 kittens, Sean? You do not know joy until you've been swarmed by 14 kittens after being released by the Colorado Rockies. That is a fact.
I've never experienced that. I probably never will, but I'm very jealous. I'm very jealous.
Don't be jealous by me playing for the Rockies or being released by them. Neither were good experiences for me.
Just the kittens.
Listen. The kittens was a phenomenal experience. But by the way, let's get back to talking about the Cubs and the White Sox real quick. Yesterday's game, I want to start by talking about the Sox because, listen, the South Side, I get why everybody's panicked. But I talked about this a little bit yesterday on another show because it was also being produced by a massive Cubs fan. And I understand why he was even frustrated because he doesn't care about the White Sox. He in fact, dislikes the White Sox because he's a diehard Cubs fan. But I asked him what he thought about this White Sox team. You know, being a guy from Chicago, being a guy who's loved the Cubs his whole life, why is it annoying him that the White Sox have not been playing up to snuff? And I get it entirely. And I think it's because he knows his Cubs team right now is what they are. We all know what the Cubs are, what they are at the moment. It's not exactly the most enjoyable team to watch. They played great these last couple of games. There are some great bright spots on this team. But at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like this team is really going all in and competing right now. And that's not what you want from a team like the Chicago Cubs, who I feel like should never be in rebuild mode ever. Ever, ever, ever. And also, we're also talking about a rebuild as if the rebuild is going to work. Let's keep in mind, rebuilds don't always work. They often don't. In fact, the majority of the time they don't. You know, while the Cubs are rebuilding, what do you think every other team's doing? Sitting around like, oh, let's wait for them Cubs to catch up, guys. They'll catch up to us, and then baseball will start. No, they're all improving as well. A lot of these organizations already are ready-made, you know, factories. We talk about the Dodgers and their farm system and their front office. We talk about the Rays. Hell, the phrase is the Rays model. Like, that's what it's called. The new form of developmental, more or less, has come from the Tampa Bay Rays. And it's brilliant. And now you take it to other teams that are willing to spend money like the Dodgers, like the Giants. Yeah, those teams are going to be very good. They're going to be consistently building from within. It doesn't mean the Cubs can't do this. They just haven't. There are some bright spots, though, again, on this team. I've talked about Frank Schwindel and how much I really like this player. I like him. He belongs in the big leagues. Do I think he should be the 4 or 3 hitter of the Cubs? No, I do not think that, but I do think he can help this team win. He's a good piece to help the team win. Same with Patrick Wisdom. Is Patrick Wisdom the piece? No, he is a piece and a good one, a good ball player. You don't have to have a full team of superstars to win baseball. How about this? 2015. I just mentioned the year 2016 when I was with the Rockies. I got traded from the Kansas City Royals. I played for the Kansas City Royals for a short time. That team won the World Series in 2015, the Kansas City Royals. They were in the World Series in 2014. Who were their stars? I really want you to think about that. Who were the stars of the Kansas City Royals? Was it Eric Hosmer? No. I mean, of course, they try to convince you of that, and somehow Scott Boras convinced the Padres of it, and they got the Padres to pay $135 million for arguably the lowest-tier first baseman in baseball. Was Mike Moustakas the star? No. He was an okay third baseman, got the job done, had good seasons over there. Was Lorenzo Cain the star? No. He was all right. He was good. He was an all-star. These are all good ball players, but were any of them superstars? Any of them? Hell, one of the biggest superstars of that team, Johnny Cueto, is currently on the South Side. And he's doing great. Oh my God, how great has Johnny Cueto been since he's been picked up by the White Sox? We were giggling about it at first, like, oh God, the White Sox, this is gonna be so we finally unload Keuchel and we pick up Johnny Cueto. What a terrible idea. Man, it's been magnificent. Here's the frustrating thing. This is why I think some Cubs fans are frustrated with the White Sox. Because the Cubs are clearly not going for it right now. The White Sox are. The White Sox are all in. They're all in on this season and maybe next season, but this window is closing. That's why it's frustrating. And if you're a Cubs fan, I totally understand why you look over the White Sox and be like, man, they're going all in on it, and this is what they're putting out on the field. And yeah, there are problems, but there are definitely bright spots too. And we talk about the White Sox way too fatalist, because keep in mind, they're one game under 500 as if they're 20 games back. They are not. They are, what, 4 games back on a not great division. The Twins are not real. I just don't think they're real. Let's go through the list on why I don't think the Twins are real. One, they're really streaky. Really streaky. It's a little concerning that the team that's in first place in your division has been shut out 9 times, which leads Major League Baseball. It's also concerning that the worst team in your division and Major League Baseball is the Detroit Tigers, who are also tied with your first place team by being shut out 9 times. What other team has been shut out that many times? Well, in third place, the Kansas City Royals. They've been shut out 8 times. All 3 of these teams are in the White Sox's division. The White Sox have a very favorable schedule going forward. Of course, they got another game today against the Houston Astros, which, of course, is not exactly the easiest of tasks. But they just took Justin Verlander to town yesterday. By the way, I got a fun stat for you. They mentioned it a couple times in the game yesterday, which I don't know if they mentioned the exact stat, but they talked about how Jose Abreu has been just a nightmare for Justin Verlander, and it is beyond true. I can't stress this enough. Justin Verlander is one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived. Justin Verlander is a first-round Hall of Famer. Justin Verlander is nearly 40, hasn't pitched in 2 seasons, had Tommy John surgery, and he's better now than he was before he got the surgery. That sometimes happens when you're 24. Sometimes. It happened when he's 40. This guy is not human. However, Jose Abreu, just listen, dude, listen to these stats. This was going into yesterday's games. I'm not even counting yesterday's hits and RBIs that he added on to these stats. This is what, my God, I'm just still looking at this. I can't believe Jose Abreu has done this to Justin Verlander. He's faced him going into yesterday's game. 44 career at-bats. He's hitting 367. Now he's hitting even higher. He's probably hitting closer to about 380 or 390 off of him. Oh, and he has six homers. Six homers off of Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander doesn't give up six homers in a year. He has six to Jose Abreu. That's incredible. I'm still not ready to give up on this White Sox team, obviously. They're 500. You know how many teams in this league would kill to be 500? Look up to the north side. You think Chicago fans wouldn't kill for a 500 team in that NL Central division right now? Now, the Cardinals, it looks like they're starting to run away with it, which is not music to my ears. But at least the Brewers aren't, which is music to my ears. So that's something. I mean, this give and take. It seems as though I can't be completely happy, but I get my mild things. We're going to be talking a lot about the White Sox today. We're going to be talking a lot about the Cubs today. We're going to be talking a lot about baseball today. We got some guests joining us today. We have so much to cover. Gordon Wittenmeyer will be joining us from NBC Sports Chicago. He's a Cubs beat writer. Cannot we be talking about him next? We are going to be talking Cubs with them. Maybe a little White Sox. Hey, maybe we'll throw some other stuff. And by the way, it's Father's Day. Let's talk about some Father's Day stories. Let's talk about you guys going out and playing catch with your dad. I never really played catch with my dad. Not because he didn't try. He had like shoulder problems when I was a kid. Not because he's a former athlete. He just exactly the opposite. It was because he wasn't a former athlete. But a happy Father's Day to my father, Jay Decker. Wonderful man, wonderful father. I'm very lucky to have had him and still have him. He is not dead. I'm actually going to lunch with him today. It's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal. Cannot wait. And
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They're going to lunch with him today. It's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal. Cannot wait. And it's going to be great spending the next 2.5 hours here with you guys for Hit and Run. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, Gordon Wittenmeyer right here from NBC Sports Chicago, right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Wilson Contreras just gave a bear hug to his brother, William Contreras, the starting catcher for Atlanta. Very rare to see brothers in the same big league game playing against each other.
I almost got in tears when I saw my brother behind the plate. I give him a nice hug. I love him so much, and I'm really proud of everything that he has done.
This is the first time that you got to see your brother play in person since Little League, especially getting the view from back there at his swing. Just what was it like?
It was an amazing experience. The last time I saw my brother play was in Little League. I would say like 10 years ago, 15, 13 years ago. And today I got a really good view of him. We're really blessed to be brothers and to be playing the big leagues. And hopefully we keep going for a few more years.
You got to admit, man, it's awesome. That is as cool as it gets. I have a brother. Don't like him much, but would love to play baseball against him at some point. He technically taught me how to play baseball when I was a little kid, so I guess I should be respectful. But, you know, I'm mostly not. It's kind of the way I was brought up. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Anyways, Wilson Contreras playing against his brother. You think that's crazy? It's not. I've seen it happen a few times. I've had teammates that have had it. Caleb Joseph, you might remember that name. He's a guy that's played for a couple of years. He was with the Blue Jays during their run when they kind of snuck into the playoffs in the 2020 season. And, of course, before that, I played with him in the Diamondbacks. And he spent a lot of time with the Orioles. Caleb Joseph, when I played with him in the Diamondbacks, we were in AAA together. I remember we were playing against the A's in Vegas in their new stadium over there. And I'll never forget it. Caleb Joseph was catching a game, and all of a sudden, coming to the plate was another guy named Joseph. And we're like, oh, we think they're related, but they weren't really. They were kind of not selling it with each other, which was really weird. We knew they were related, but they were just both trying their best not to acknowledge it. And then Caleb Joseph's brother comes up, his first at bat, and he homers. I'm like, interesting. Okay. Well, you know, we are playing in Vegas. It's a BAM box, not a big deal. Comes up his second at bat, homers again. All right, we have questions. Caleb, sit your ass down. Caleb, first pitch, both times, homer. You better not be selling out your pitcher, buddy. And he's like, no, I swear to God, my brother's good. I'm like, he ain't that good. We see the numbers. He actually was that good. Guy absolutely raked. But yeah, Caleb Joseph playing against his brother yesterday. Very cool to see the Contreras brothers play with each other, against each other. That is a rare feat. Very cool. Cool stuff. Sean, do we have our man Gordon on the line waiting for us?
Just waiting on him to connect. He should be joining us shortly.
I'm looking forward to having him. Gordon Wittenmeyer from NBC Sports Chicago, Cubs beat writer. We're going to talk a little bit of Chicago Cubs, talk some White Sox, maybe just talk about everything else throughout the league. By the way, everything else throughout the league. I got a question for you, Sean, before we get to the Cubs and before we get to Gordon. You think the Yankees are ever going to lose again? Because I don't.
They sure don't look like they're going to do it again, huh?
Oh, my God. They really are that good. They really are. Like, I'm waiting. I had this discussion with somebody yesterday. And it's a real conversation that you really got to have. Because looking at the money that's being spent, the money on the Yankees payroll that's being allocated in certain directions, we know that Aaron Judge just turned down, what, $270 million extension? Bet on himself. It's going to turn out quite well. He's going to sign for, I don't know, maybe over $400 million, maybe more based on how he's playing right now. It's unbelievable what he's doing. But keep in mind how much they're paying Giancarlo Stanton. And I'm not somebody that's against the Giancarlo Stanton pickup and the amount of money they're paying him. Giancarlo Stanton's incredible, especially when he's healthy. However, somebody asked me yesterday, if Giancarlo goes down, if injuries start happening to this team, will you start fading the Yankees? And I said, okay, start naming players. And he started naming player by player. Will you fade the Yankees if Giancarlo goes down? I said, no. Rizzo, no. Donaldson, no. Hicks, no. Combination of any of the two, no. Judge. Yep. If they don't have Judge, I'm fading them. Done. Yes. That's how good Aaron Judge has been. He is an honest-to-God difference maker. Him in the lineup makes that team right now borderline unbeatable. It's insane. It's insane. And keep in mind, the American League's got a lot less parity than the National League. The National League's a stronger league this year. But the Yankees might be the strongest team. It's unbelievable. Aaron Judge. Seriously, he is a video game right now, Sean.
He's been so good. And I feel like maybe I just didn't watch him close enough up until really this year. But I always kind of thought he was maybe a little bit overrated. Now I feel stupid because the guy is probably underrated. He's been so good this year. And like you said, he's bet on himself and it's going to work out great. One of the few times that that's actually worked out for a player where they come into a season where, you know, it's a contract year. They're looking to try and get paid. Aaron Judge has taken that to the next level, man. He's for sure the MVP of the AL right now. And barring any changes, like, I mean, this guy's running away with it.
His only issue is that he gets hurt, and he gets hurt a lot.
Right.
It is a fact.
Yeah,
you can't deny that. I mean, you look throughout the league. I mean, think about this. There are contracts throughout the league that I don't understand. There are contracts that I do understand, but I'm going to point out one. Here's why, like, the idea of paying Aaron Judge is scary, because he gets hurt a lot. How do you think the Nats feel about Steven Strasburg these days?
Yeah, that's a great comp there.
My reason is here. It's not that Steven Strasburg's been hurt the entire second contract. He was hurt his whole first contract. I think he's been healthy a total of maybe 5 months in his career. Luckily, part of those 5 months was a World Series win.
Right.
I mean, and that World Series win got him an extra $200 million. But the guy, I mean, the guy's probably what, played a total of two and a half full healthy seasons in the past 10 years? It's made like $500 million. That's just a situation I think everybody would like to avoid. But that's also why it's a little tricky to pay pitchers. You know, that's the other thing. The pitchers are hard to pay. Hell, I'm talking about the Yankees and how great they are. Dude, everybody in New York talks about Gerrit Cole like he's the worst pitcher in the world. He's got like a 2 ERA and he's going to be a finalist for the Cy Young. But because Nestor Cortez is pitching a little better, Tyone's pitching a little better, because guys are doing a little better than Cole is doing, Cole sucks now.
Isn't that crazy? And that guy, I mean, every team would take Gerrit Cole in a heartbeat right now. You know?
Yeah. You think?
Right. That guy's one of the few pitchers you look at now in baseball and say, like, that's an ace. That's a guy that, you know, if you're going through a slump, you look at that guy and say, he's going to get us a win today. There's only so many guys that do that.
Dude, he gives up 2 solo home runs and there's 5 think pieces in the New York Post about what's wrong with Gerrit Cole.
That's so true.
It's just like nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Just
Chapman,
pretty good.
Quite a few things. Yeah. Cole's really, really good. Speaking of that, we're going to talk a lot about the White Sox today, and we're going to be talking a little bit, you know, last week when we were doing the show, obviously you and I talked a lot about La Russa, and it's easy to talk about La Russa, but we are obviously going to talk about La Russa again in a little bit, because a couple of games ago, not yesterday, yesterday was a great game. Yesterday is hopefully the direction the White Sox are going, but the game before was a lot more of the same. And I'm talking, of course, about the Friday game where Lucas Giolito was pitching. It was a 3-3 ball game, the Apple TV game. That game was very frustrating to watch, because here's the thing. I had Lucas Giolito on this show last week, and there was something I even talked to him about on this show. And it's something he acknowledges. It's something everybody acknowledges. Giolito's been having some trouble in the 5th and 6th innings. Specifically, if he gets through a good 5th, the 6th inning has been his almost stoppage point. For whatever reason, he's having a lot of issues in that 5th and 6th inning, but the 6th inning, 100%. What happened on Friday? Well, he gets to the 6th inning. He had very low pitch count. He did. He was pitching great. He was rolling great. But again, since coming off the IL, he has not gone into one clean 6th inning. Not one. So I'm not saying you're going to pull him in that situation going into the 6th inning. I'm saying you got to have a contingency plan, possibly have somebody getting moving around in the bullpen, getting ready to go. That ended up being a 45-pitch inning, ended up being a 10-run inning. When he walked Bregman, someone should have been getting up in the pen. Honestly, somebody should have already been up in the pen, but somebody should have been getting ready. When he gave up the hit to Yordan, quite frankly, I don't think he should have even faced Yordan. But whatever, he gave up the hit to Yordan. Maybe get somebody up. Honestly, pull him, but at least get somebody up. Oh, we're waiting. The only job a manager has to do at this point is handle a bullpen. That's it. It's not that hard. The game tells you everything you need to do. There are 29 other managers who don't seem to have a problem handling a bullpen. That was frustrating. That was exceedingly frustrating. Why else was it frustrating? I wasn't the only one thinking it. The announcers were saying it. It happens a lot. And it seems like it happens only a lot in the games that Tony La Russa is managing. I talked about the Padres a lot, and it's not because I'm not necessarily a Padre fan. I played for them. I respect them, and I'll always love the Padres because of that. But I said last year when they fired Jace Tingler, getting Bob Melvin was going to net this team at least five more wins just by his managerial style, how he's going to handle his team, how he's going to handle his starting rotation, how he's going to handle his bullpen. And he's done more than that already. I feel like we're getting the exact opposite on the south side of Chicago. And we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about the Cubs with our guest right now calling in, Gordon Wittenmeyer at NBC Sports Chicago, Cubs beat writer. Gordon, thank you so much for joining me on Hit and Run. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream. Just talking some Chicago Cubs, talking some White Sox right now.
Wait a minute. Cubs look pretty good. Talking Chicago Cubs is the dream? Is that what you just said?
Oh, you know what? You know, some years it is. Today it is. They won yesterday. I get to talk positively today, Gordon. Yeah, this is a dream.
All right, all right. Hey, happy Father's Day, too. It's a nice day.
Happy Father's Day. Gordon, it's been a rough time over there on the north side this year. What positives so far can you take from this team, especially going forward? This payroll is obviously low, so this team could spend this offseason. But are there even pieces to spend on coming this offseason to get this team to win immediately?
It's low because they chose not to spend.
I mean,
they had a payroll at their resource level, close to the luxury tax threshold, and it was a defending division champion roster. And they decided that biblical losses meant that they had to sell off when the Dodgers and the Yankees did not do the same thing. So that's why the payroll is where it is. I don't have any faith that they're going to suddenly jack it to luxury tax threshold levels. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure, I mean, where they've taken the roster, that's not even a smart thing to do, to go one off season and try to go huge. They're not anywhere close at this point to contending. And the biggest problem is you don't know what you have in-house. They're trying out all kinds of pitchers. They spent a decade failing at developing pitching. They think they might have some now, but you don't know. I mean, Keegan Thompson looked really nice the other day. He looked terrible his last two starts, so we'll see what happens. He's a young pitcher. Justin Steele's looked pretty good most of the year. He's had some clunkers. We'll see what he is. Adbert Alzolay, I don't know what to make of him, even when he was healthy, and he's not healthy right now. We'll see what happens there. They got some bullpen pieces. They got Caleb Killian, who I think pitches Monday. Top prospect. He's had a good one and a not so good one. I don't know. I don't see a Dwight Gooden on the horizon. But no. They might have some pieces, but they don't even know what the pieces are at this point. And they need to at least let the second half of the season play out to know where they stand in terms of in-house talent. Never mind the fact that you're going to blow up the roster again at the deadline and leave that many more holes to fill. So I have no idea where they are. And by the way, neither does Jed Hoyer to hear him talk.
I know. And that's actually one thing I want to ask you about. How is it possible Hoyer doesn't know? It's not like he's a new member of this organization and a new front office. This front office has been around for a decade. How do they not know the talent they have in-house right now, despite the fact they've developed them all?
Because they haven't developed them all. They're not there yet because they're minor leaguers. And in some cases, some of their better talent's in the low minors. So they can't know. But more than that, he was handed, look, Theo jumped ship with a year left on his contract. He knew what was coming. And the ownership was handing down cuts left and right across the board, front office, you know, regular office people too. And then they slashed payroll, forced the trade of Yu Darvish, the non-tender of Kyle Schwarber, and it was all downhill from there when it came to where this roster was going to end up before you built anything back up. When you're handed that going in the door, and you're where you are now, I don't know how you can know that, because that wasn't Jed Hoyer's or Theo Epstein's plan. Now, part of it's their doing because they failed to develop enough players to backfill their rosters. But that was handed down from ownership a couple of years ago. And so this is where we are. Maybe at the end of the year, they'll know a little more. These guys in the upper minor had a chance to get their feet wet in the majors, look like.
Well, also on top of that, you mentioned this was a decision. And you mentioned the people that they fired during, say, the pandemic year. Keep in mind, every organization got rid of just about everybody in every front office at one point to cut costs during the pandemic. What made the Cubs so specific?
Everybody cut some. Yeah.
What made the Cubs specific?
The Cubs were deep in... They were in debt. When they... Look, they bought the franchise originally in a heavily leveraged purchase. And they had some very severe bank restrictions for years. Those expired. They lessened over time and eventually expired. As they expired and the revenues increased and the franchise value, the equity in the team increased, they took on more debt because that made good business sense. That was smart. It was cheap. It was a whole lot cheaper to borrow at next to nothing and make money immediately off what you borrowed than to not do that. So they did it. But what happened with the pandemic is the revenues went away. The revenues went away suddenly. And they panicked. Instead of weathering that storm and sort of sucking it up, they panicked and wound up trying to recoup what they could over a period of time. And this is that's why their cuts were so much more severe than some others.
Well, on top of that, you talk about, you mentioned some of the guys that are up in the big leagues right now, these guys who have spent a lot of time in the minor leagues. You do mention that this wasn't the plan, and obviously it wasn't, but you mentioned they haven't developed these players as if Hoyer inherited them. Hoyer's been here for quite a long time, though. What is stopping them from, who is running their minor league system? What is stopping them from getting their developmental to where it needs to be?
Yeah, they've overhauled it more than once in that decade. And they're in a place now with some relatively new leadership, and they think they've got something going now. They brought Dan Kantrovitz over, the guy who was spent years in St. Louis overseeing their drafts, and we know that they've done a pretty good job of player development over the years. And he brought in a little bit different philosophy. We've seen some more players pitchers drafted a little higher, a couple of first rounders, and so far they look pretty good. We'll see where that goes, but he came in right about the time the pandemic hit, so he hasn't had a lot of runway yet for his impact to be seen yet as it relates to getting guys from the minors to the majors. We'll see. We think that might be starting about now with some of the names I've already mentioned, we need to see more of it. They need to see a lot of these guys. If you're not going to have, like I mentioned, the Dwight Gooden's coming, if you don't have the next Chris Bryant or whatever that impact MVP type guy is coming, then you need a lot of these other guys. You need a lot of 2.5, 3 starters if you're not going to have that 1, 1.5 starter. You need a lot of really good pieces that complement each other that you can at least platoon in the lineup and score 4+ runs a game. And you need some guys that can catch the ball.
Yes.
We don't know
yes,
that they have enough do. Of any of that.
No, we don't. And keep in mind, there are times where this team actually doesn't look bad. Yesterday, the day before, they've actually looked all right, but there are other times where they just look allergic to baseball. On top of that, question for you.
And that's a sign of a team that's incomplete and flawed in numerous areas.
Absolutely. On top of that, I got a separate question for you. We're talking about the money that they've allocated and the money they've chosen not to allocate in certain places. Like you said, this is a choice that the Cubs have made, a full-on decision. What led to the decision to bring in and spend money on Marcus Stroman and Seiya Suzuki if we're not going to fill the roster with other players around them?
Well, if Suzuki is the impact player that they think he is, he's on a 5-year contract, and it's a very affordable 5-year contract. It's a $17 million a year deal. Now, it's more than that because they had to pay the posting fee, so it's actually 99 point something. It's closer to $20 million a year. But in today's game, and especially if you're a big market club, that's not a lot. If you're right on him, he should be part of the next team that's competitive. I don't know about this next great Cubs team that, you know, until I see the next competitive Cubs team, you know, I don't know when Jed Hoyer's team's coming. But he should be part of that, all right? It shouldn't take you more than 5 years under any circumstances, especially if you're the Chicago Cubs. So he's a guy that comes in as sort of a cost-effective guy if you're right about him, and he fits that. And Marcus Stroman is a really interesting case because I don't believe they looked at this as a three-year proposition to be back in the playoffs or competing for a championship. Maybe they did. He's got an opt-out after his second year. And in the meantime, now this isn't the case right now, but in the meantime, had he been performing this year and the team not been performing, it's a tradable contract. So you have flexibility within that contract. So you need bodies, you need representative players, you need something to sell the fans, and you maintain flexibility. That's I think what we saw in those signings in particular.
Last question for you, Wilson Contreras. Obviously a potential trade piece, but also a fan favorite, and guys like him, and quite frankly, he could help this team in the future. Do you think there is a chance that he can remain in Chicago, or do you think he can get somewhat of a haul here in Chicago if they were able to move him?
I don't know what he's a rent a player either way, no matter how great
he is a rent a player, and he's a rent a catcher at the age of 30.
Well, yeah, but he's really, the way I view him is he's a rent a hitter. With the universal DH, and as well as he's hitting right now, he's a hitter who can supplement your catching. In a big way. So, and he also can play a couple other positions. So I think he's got some versatility. However, the rent-a-players that get a big haul are the starting pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. Or the difference-making back-end bullpen pieces. So it's going to be tougher. Like, for instance, David Robertson, right? He's having a rebirth of his career after dealing with injuries the last few years. He's looking every bit closer material and what he was as an all-star. That guy is going to have, you're going to have many teams that are going to kick the tires on him minimum, and maybe even a handful that come in hard for him. So you're going to have a marketplace that you can leverage. You have to find a fit for Wilson, and there, at the very least, there won't be as many teams. Can you get more for him? Potentially, but you've got to have at least two teams that come in hard. And, we'll see what happens. But I do think that he gets traded. All the signals are that he gets traded, even though, you know, it's just baffling to me. I know he's a 30-year-old catcher, blah, blah, blah. But he's still very, very athletic. He plays the position well, but he's hitting like he never has. And this was a first where they got him out from behind the plate a little more often. And look what it did for his bat. He's also really helping some of the young kids that are coming in. They're gravitating toward him, and he's embracing that role. He could be, and has said he wants to be, part of that rebuild to bridge to the next contender. And I'd give him the money. I mean, it's the Chicago freaking Cubs. They've got tons of payroll flexibility and tons of resources. And even if he's not the ideal contract, he's not going to break your bank. He's not going to come close to it. You could give him a fair deal that works for him, and it could work for the team. Why they're not doing that, I don't know. But that the logic behind that keeps in the back of my mind this idea that maybe they'll come to their senses at some point and get something done. But I don't have a lot of faith in that.
I don't either, but I hope they get something done. I'd like to see Wilson Contreras stay a Chicago Cub for the foreseeable future. He is Gordon Wittenmeyer. Gordon, thank you so much for joining me. Check him out on NBC Sports Chicago, Cubs beat writer. Seriously, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Father's Day to come and join me here on Hit and Run.
Anytime. Take care.
All right, take good care. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Wilson Contreras. What are the possible trade options for him? Where can he go? Or could it be possible that he could stay here? I want it to happen. You probably want it to happen. Sean definitely wants it to happen. We're going to talk about it right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Without necessarily knowing what the timeline is, does it feel further away than it did when the season started?
I think I have a better answer for that later in the season. I think that, you know, I don't feel like we've had a chance to really get everyone on the field and playing. And I think I'll have a better feel for that at the end of the season than I do right now. I mean, like I said, I understand why you're asking that question today, but it's probably a question I'll probably answer later in the season.
That was a question asked by Gordon Whitmire, who we just had on from NBC Sports Cubs beat writer, asking Jed Hoyer about the future of this franchise. And here's the thing. There's something that Gordon actually just said that I'm having a little bit of problem with. Not necessarily from him, just I think there's something out there. I don't know if it's a narrative or anything like that, but Hoyer not knowing where the future of this franchise is absurdly concerning to me. Not knowing who he has. And Gordon even talking about, yeah, well, they don't know what they have. How do you not know what you have? He also mentioned, he's mentioned a lot of front office people were a lot of turnover in this organization. There's been a lot of turnover in every organization. I mentioned that the pandemic, everyone was fired in Major League Baseball. In fact, you couldn't get a job in Major League Baseball for the last couple of years. In fact, only teams started hiring again this January. That's when the scouts started getting jobs again. People are still getting hired for jobs that have not been refilled yet. I can't stress this enough. Every organization has been turned over. Everyone fired everyone. I believe, now, I might be a little off on this, Sean, so correct me if I'm wrong if you find otherwise, but I believe the only team that didn't fire their front office and all their scouts was the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, I think every team at least significantly downgraded. I know the Cubs got rid of, like, I think it was nearly 100 employees, something like that, before the end of the year. Yeah, I mean,
A's got rid of everybody.
Right.
Dodgers got rid of all their scouts. Scouts were all gone. Right. Every organization got rid of all their scouts.
Well, I mean, there was no minor leagues that year, so, like, what are they scouting, right?
There was no youth baseball to go look at. There was nothing to scout, so all the scouts were gone. Scouting directors, we're talking full departments let go during this time. So every minor league system was borderline barren as far as front offices go. But these players were still members of the organization. It's not like the Cubs started a minor league system last year.
Yeah, it's true. These guys were still in the system. That's true.
And I was also a little confused because Gordon mentioned, Jed Hoyer wasn't always in charge. He wasn't always the team. He was the GM for the past 10 years. It's not like they just brought him in and he's taking a look what Theo left him. Do you think Theo just went rogue for 10 years and said, all right, Jed, now you get to see everything? He was his right-hand man. How do I know that? Jed was my GM in San Diego. He left me high and dry for you guys in Chicago, which I don't blame him. I would have done it too in a heartbeat. You kidding me? Padres were terrible back then. But I'm just confused by this. Are you not a little bit, Sean?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I was thinking about that, too, as Gordon was talking as well, too. It's like, you know, Jed, obviously, like, he's the man in charge. He gets to kind of pull the strings and levers or whatever you want to say. But at the same time, too, these are all players that Jed should be at least pretty familiar with. And I get they've had some younger players come into the system in the last year after they traded Bryants and Rizzos and Baez's of the world. And I get that. But those are all guys that, I mean, like, Pete Crow Armstrong was a guy the Cubs were considering drafting if they were able to get high enough in that draft. These were all guys they were at least scouting or had some idea of who they were coming into this. So, like, it's not like they should be completely foreign to this. It really, when I was listening to Hoyer, it felt like he just didn't want to give people an idea of which direction he was pointing. So he was being ambiguous. And guys like Gordon, I appreciate him and Paul Sullivan just going out there and asking these questions. But
you need to.
At the same time, though, it's kind of like a little head scratching that we're all just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Jed didn't know. Jed, you know, this is Jed's team now. He'll figure it out. And it's like, you probably should. Like, that should have been a benefit of him being here, right? The keeping that continuity.
You know what my true thought process is on this? And this is what I think might even be Gordon's. And this might be why Gordon is as frustrated as he sounds when he's talking about this team. And I don't blame him. Listen to Jed in that clip. Jed does not know where this franchise is going. And I don't think that's entirely on him. I don't think he knows what he's allowed to spend this next year, if at all, which is insane to me. This is the Chicago Cubs. They should never be in rebuild mode. And again, what is rebuild mode for this organization? Is rebuild mode signing free agents? Is it developmental from within? He mentioned they got some new developmental minds taking place. Probably a new R&D department for a pitching side. This team does need to develop some arms. I will tell you that. Nothing against the pitchers they have, but look throughout baseball. Look throughout Major League Baseball. What's the average velocity you see in Major League Baseball? upper 90s. You're seeing that's how pitching is done. We had Lucas Giolito on. Yeah, we had Lucas Giolito on last week talking about how velocity is where it's going to be and it's never going away. It's not necessarily that the velocity is the end all be all. It's a baseline. You have to have it at least in the tank. Doesn't mean you have to go out there and do it, but you have to have it in the tank. Guys, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we are going to finally talk a little bit about Contreras and where he could possibly end up and what kind of haul he can bring in for the Chicago Cubs. Guys, right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We are going to finally talk a little bit about Contreras and where he could possibly end up and what kind of haul he can bring in for the Chicago Cubs. Guys, right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.